people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? Listen, I've got some good news. I am actually starting an additional network starting tomorrow, Monday through Friday. I am going to be on Republic Broadcasting Network Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific. So I'll be on from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 2 hours every day, Monday through Friday, and I will still continue on with micro1650am.com every Sunday at noon Eastern Time. And, of course, I'll still continue to be on the Colorado station that I've been on Tuesday through Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. They're just going to pick up the signal. The network will pick up the signal from the station and play it. So it's going to be a little bit of a trip, though, I got to tell you, because when I'm on the Colorado station, I'm with this first hour, I'll be on the Colorado station of the show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so I'm going to be working off a different clock, a different time clock when breaks are taken and that kind of stuff, than I will for the second hour. And I'll also have two different call-in numbers. For the first hour on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you'll be using one number to call in. And then on the second hour, we'll be using a different number. So it's going to be a trip. On Mondays and Fridays, it'll all be produced through Republic Broadcasting Network. And then on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, the first hour will come out of Colorado into RBN. And then the second hour will be RBN. So it's going to be kind of a trip to see how this works out, because when I switch on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from Colorado station, how I get into their system is I actually call in from a landline, and on the RBN system, I'm actually going to be doing the show through Skype, so I'll have to quick hang up the phone and then quick dial in through Skype to get into RBN, so it should prove interesting. And I'll have a different clock from the first hour to the second hour, too. So it'll be one of those kind of deals like who's on first. But anyway, there's never a dull moment in life. And so, hey, you know what? I had a lot of experience dealing with chaos. Growing up in a very chaotic environment was actually, quite frankly, an advantage. Though I would never have told you there was any advantage to it as a child at all, because it was truly madness. But I can look back at the skill sets I acquired due to that chaos, so, which I don't think I would necessarily have acquired otherwise. So, you know what? Out of every bad thing comes some good things. Just sometimes they're very myopic and difficult to see, but they truly do. You know, I really do. I do think that, you know, actually wasn't planning on getting on into a tangent about my childhood, but I grew up in a real violent, crazy environment. But I think that a lot of the characteristics I have today, I don't know whether I would have had I grown up in a different environment, would I have acquired a lot of the characteristics that I have? And for example, one that I have is empathy. And, I often wonder if, you know, things had been different, would I have the empathy that I have today if I had grown up in the so-called all-American household? So who knows? We'll never know. You know, that is a question there will never be an answer to. But anyway, I'm excited about starting on Republic Broadcasting starting tomorrow, Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You'll be able to hear my show for 2 hours, and I'll still be with Micro 1650 on Sundays, and I'll still be on KHNC, so that's kind of exciting. Now, my guest today is William Taylor Real. I do that. I screw with his last name because he can hear every word I'm saying, so I'm doing it deliberately just to screw with him a little bit, because it's Sundays, and sometimes on Sundays you got to screw with people. You know what I mean, Bill?
I guess I know what you mean.
But anyway, my buddy Bill and we were together yesterday afternoon at a tea party in South Jersey in Salem County, which is like the southernmost portion of New Jersey. And we were there had a tea party at a fairgrounds, and it was a real nice event, and we were able to hand out some literature. We were handing out literature for informing people on Sharia law, and I was also handing out my stuff on United Nations Agenda 21. So it worked out to be a real nice afternoon, and we heard a lot of nice speakers, though where we were in the, where the booths were located was kind of far from the podium where the speakers were, but there was a lady both Bill and I heard. In fact, both he and I bought her CD. She was had been in a concentration camp, or not a concentration camp. She actually, I don't know whether she was or she wasn't, Bill. Did you listen to her CD? Because I didn't hear her whole speech. Was she in a concentration camp? She was a child under Hitler's youth, but...
Yeah, I don't know that she was.
Yeah.
But she may have been.
Yeah.
Anyway, very interesting lady.
Yeah, yeah. What is her name, Bill? Catherine Wertman? Is that correct? Is it
Catherine? Kitty.
Kitty Wertman.
Yeah. Kitty Wertman.
But I'm actually going to try to bring her on my show to speak and talk about what life was like, how the indoctrination occurred with the youth, with the children, how Hitler gained their minds by indoctrinating them and manipulating them. And you know, people really need to understand how, like a finely tuned clock, these people work to indoctrinate people and to convince them that what they're saying is factual and not fiction. And it's pure evil, Bill, isn't it, truly?
Yeah, she makes a very close parallel to what is going on and has been for a while here in the United States as to what went on in Europe leading up to Hitler's reign and during his reign. So very telling, and we need to pay attention.
Yeah, we really do need to pay attention. And, you know, people are just, I don't know, Bill, it's like people are walking around with bags on their heads or something like that. You know what I mean? They truly are.
Well,
it's like, so many of them, not all of them, but there's a lot of them that are.
It's taken a long time to dumb down the people. And unfortunately, it doesn't take that many people to turn it around. The war for independence was not fought by very many. Some estimates 3 to 5% of the people in the colonies participated in that war. Many just stood by. And it's always the case. The majority of the people stand by to see which side's going to win, and then they jump on that side. So there's some real evil people, and there's some really good people. And then the vast majority of the people in the middle just wait. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because if they do nothing, that's okay. We have to just convince enough people to move to the right, where the truth prevails and the law prevails, and we will be successful in saving our country.
Yeah. Well,
right now, it's in very perilous hands, unfortunately.
Yes, it is. And by moving to the right, it's right versus wrong, truth versus lie, not necessarily a particular political party, but the right versus wrong side of life.
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with party.
Yeah.
It has to do with freedom against slavery, you know.
Yeah.
Liberty against tyranny. Those kind of things.
We're not advocating any particular political party here. We're advocating, wow, Bill, I don't know if I had enough. Maybe I had too much caffeine or I didn't have enough. I don't know which, but we're advocating freedom and liberty versus enslavement and tyranny. So, but that's what we're all about. And for those of you who have listened to my shows the past couple of weekends on Sundays, I've had William Taylor Ryle with me.
Ryle.
I don't know why I don't know, but there's a mental block there. But I've had him with me, and because he is a self-taught constitutional expert, he's been studying it for 21 years, so he really knows what it says. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks going through the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and covering them, you know, word for word, so that people who really aren't exactly sure why they chose to do the different things they did, the Founding Fathers, why they chose to do them. So that's kind of our game plan. Bill and I kind of talked about it, and we think it's real critical that everybody understands the foundational documents, the foundation of this country, and what it is based on and why. So we only have, you know what, let's not get into anything, Bill, because we're going to be going to break in a another minute or so. So, you know, but it's very important.
It is important to understand the reasons that the framers put specific provisions in the Constitution, state
Bill.
Constitution and the federal Constitution.
Yeah, hang on. Hold that note, Bill, because I hear the music's playing. We're going to be going to break, and I don't know why it's so low for me, but anybody...
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
This July 4th, come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a 3-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Traficant, man, they railroaded that guy, Mark and Rose, K.I. Sullivan, Freedom of Fascism. You want great rock? We got it. How about the most influential, hardest working band in the movement today? Poker Face. We got the Ameros, Burn the Ball Out, Amp Killer, Doug Hawk, Front to Enemy, The Grunts, Kinetic Blue, Payday Monsanto, Secret System Band, Scrap Metal Bomb, Rebel Inc. Man, that's a lot of bands. Camp out under the stars along the Delaware River, like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton. What else are you gonna do on this 4th of July? Sit around with family members you hate? Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every other year? No way, man. I'm going to Freedom Palooza. Go to freedompalooza.com for all the details. Freedompalooza.com.
Timothy Spearman's The History of the Peace Train. The peace train Cat Stevens made so famous rides the rails once more. Tim and peace poet Bibby Pruitt are riding the rails, jointly promoting their new books. Bibby's inspirational peace poetry, Princess of Peace, complements Tim's historical History of the Peace Train. The History of the Peace Train details the history of trains since the dawn of train travel and the instrumental role they have played in the peace movement internationally. Check out Timothy Spearman's website at www.shakesspear.com. Books are available for Tim and Vivi at xoxopublishing.com and amazon.com. Catch Vivi and Tim's live radio show, Writing on the Wall, on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Saturdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't miss out on a history-changing event.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodman. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and if you'd like to call into this show today, 716-213-6816, 716-213-6816 is the number. And if you'd like to contact me, my website is 3 words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Theunsolicitedopinion.com is the number. And if you go to my website and you like the way it looks, a friend of mine did my website. She rebuilt it for me a couple months ago. Her website to find her is globaledge.net, globaledge.net. She is a computer junkie, and she knows all the tricks of the trade. So if you like the website and you'd like something like it, then get in contact with my friend Ruth Miller, and her website is globaledge.net. I'm talking this morning with William Taylor Ryle, and we are going to talk about nullification. So let's start with nullification, Bill. What is it?
Well, nullification is the act of looking at a law and determining that it is unjust or unconstitutional or both. And even though the law allegedly exists, the states, in the case of state nullification, would simply say that the state will not implement and enforce a particular law issued by the Congress in that particular state. And it has been around for a long time. It originally was expressed by Thomas Jefferson in the Kentucky Resolution of 1798 and by James Madison in the Virginia Resolution in 1798. And there they were objecting to and working against the Alien and Sedition Acts. There were actually four different acts, and the most damaging was the sedition portion, which made it a crime to be fined or imprisoned or both for speaking out against the government. Now, of course, that's indirect. Yes?
Let me interrupt you. So what was the alien portion of the Alien and Sedition Act?
If a person went from one state to another or was a foreigner, they were alien, and they could be arrested and returned.
Okay.
And so the while that was bad, that was not the principal reason for Jefferson and Madison writing their resolutions in the two states. I guess we need to sort of back up a little bit and understand that in the Bill of Rights, which were ratified on December 15, 1791, there are two provisions that the last two amendments, the 9th and the 10th, really deal with clarification about what is not in the document. Because Hamilton claimed that the federal constitution didn't really require a Bill of Rights. That was his contention during the convention. And so it wasn't added, but there were over 200 objections by the ratifying conventions that there wasn't a Bill of Rights. And Washington agreed that if the states would ratify, there would be a Bill of Rights. And that was the first action of the new Congress. Madison, as it turns out, took all those objections and boiled them down to 12 amendments. And they went out to the states in 1789 and were ratified. Actually, the last 10 were ratified on December 15th, 1791. The Ninth Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Again, this is one of Hamilton's statements. If we don't put everything in there, then they'll think that that's all there is. And so that gave rise to the Ninth Amendment. And it's important for everybody to remember that the reasons that provisions were put in the Constitution was because of the framers' vast knowledge of history and the way other governments worked, and they rejected all the other governments in the world and came up with a republic, and the people are the sovereigns, and everything in government derives from their just power. And the point is, or the just power of the government derives from their authority. And so when Hamilton was overridden, if you will, by the people and saying, if we haven't put something in here, you can't do it anyway, or that is to say the people retain those authorities. So that was a check against this idea that Hamilton had raised and others. The Tenth Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And there again it says, if we've forgotten something, you can't do it anyway. The United States was intended to be a limited government created by the states of the Union. In fact, all the states, the 13 original states, were states before there was a United States. Now, there was an Article of Confederation that was really written in 1777, ratified in 1781, and in existence up until the new Constitution took force in 1789. But the point being, or until it was ratified, actually, in 1788. And so some will argue, well, the Articles of Confederation were really never repealed, and all sorts of arguments, all of which are sort of bogus arguments. We have this federal constitution that is has original intent. And this 10th Amendment provision says that the states can only do what is in the Constitution. And
or the federal government, you mean, can only do what's in the Constitution.
I don't know what I said, but yes, the federal government.
Yeah, yeah.
And the states have certain rights, and if the Constitution prohibits the federal government from operating on them, then the federal government can't do that. And everything else is left to the states and to the people. Now, keep in mind that the conventions that were formed by the people of the states, which was a requirement of ratification for the federal constitution, were made up of the sovereign people of each state. And they had to ratify it. And the constitution requires that three-fourths of the states, when they ratify it, then the change to the constitution or the original constitution becomes law. And they did that, and actually New Hampshire was the ninth state, which ratified in June 21st, 1788. And these amendments were intended to fix the objections, as I said, of all the states when they were ratifying it, based on the word, frankly, of Washington, that he would take care of it. And in fact, it did occur. The ninth and tenth amendments are extremely important relative to understanding the powers of the states. Many police people believe that there's the United States and then there's the states of the that we're just the states are just subdivisions of the central government. We have one nation, indivisible, as you will, but that is not the case here. We're supposed to have individual states united together to form a federation of states, which then created and maintain the central government of the United States of America. Actually, the central government, that is the federal government, is supposed to be subservient and an agent of the states. It was always intended that to be that. The states are, in fact, the members of the compact, the Constitution, and it's sometimes referred to as compact theory. But in reality, that has to be. It's the union of states that create the central government. Now, why is that important?
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm thinking, Bill, when we're going to go to break again in a couple of minutes, but you know what I'm thinking? And I'm sure that there are people out there listening, because I don't know who listens to this show. You know, the fact that nobody is calling today doesn't mean nobody is listening. I was just sitting here thinking as you're talking about this, Bill, and I bet you that there are people, I can guarantee you there are people out there who have really limited. Listen, there's the cue music. We're going to break. When we come back, I'll take up that thought, Bill. Listen, everybody, this is the Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and we're going to be right back. Hang in there.
Free speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Clemens. Rebel fighters in Libya have come under heavy shelling by forces loyal to the regime in Tripoli. Dr. Mohamed Tika, who is also under fire, is at a hospital giving aid to the wounded.
Situation today, there is too much cases injured, most of them serious injury, and about six people died. and the war is continuing. We are here a lot of sounds of bomb here now near.
Meanwhile, Libyan government spokesman Musa Ibrahim says NATO bombs have killed civilians in one Tripoli neighborhood.
This is another night of murder and terror and horror in Tripoli caused by NATO. You have seen with your own eyes the terrible disaster that is taking place every day in Tripoli.
IRN USA Radio News.
News reports say that the price of gas in the U.S. may go up to $4 or more a gallon by summer. That's pretty scary news for the family budget. But when you consider that many parents in third world countries don't even know what they're going to feed their children tomorrow, it takes on a different perspective. Now there's a way to help solve both problems. Get on your computer and go to usagoodness.com to get information on how you can start a home business to earn extra money in your spare time while providing food for starving children. You will feel great earning extra money to help the family budget, but you'll feel even better knowing that your work is actually saving lives. Some go to usagoodness.com to earn extra money. Others have made it a full-time income. You've always wanted to do something good with your life. Now, you can earn money for your family and provide meals for hungry children at the same time. If you need extra money or want to replace your job with your own home business, go to usagoodness.com or call toll-free 800-301-6177. That's 800-301-6177.
Radio X.
Radio X.
Your host, Jimmy X.
Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 Eastern, here on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's Maggie Rodden and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to call into this show this morning, 716-213-6816, or I should say afternoon, it's afternoon where I am. 716-213-6816 is the number. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And if you'd like to have a website like mine, my friend Ruth Miller is the one who created my website. And if you'd like to get in contact with her, globaledge.net, globaledge.net is her business website. That's how you can reach her. So I'm talking this morning again with Bill Ryle, William Taylor Ryle. Hey, I got it right, Riley. I should call you Riley, Bill. But, you know, what I started to say when we went to break, you know, I was thinking, Bill, maybe you should go back to, like, the pilgrims came over here. Columbus got over here in 1492. Then the pilgrims came here. And maybe just a quick synopsis of how we ended up getting to 1776 and the colonies and that. What do you think? So that people really have a historical from, you know, when Columbus set foot here and then what happened and how we got to the Constitution. Can you do that quickly? I don't care about a lot of dates, but maybe just an overview for people. Because I can tell you there's a lot of people, they don't teach that stuff. They don't teach it. Not anymore. And they,
I don't know how relevant that is to...
I'd like you to say that, Bill. So I think it is relevant. I think people need to understand the historical foundations of the country, and the country began back when the people first arrived here. So,
well, first of all, I guess what's relevant is people came to these shores from various parts of the world. Spain, which is where Columbus came from, and Spain was looking for riches, but also to spread the gospel. And Columbus first landed in the islands in the Caribbean and then made his way up the coast and planted the cross pretty much everywhere he went. And the names that were given to those places he discovered were primarily based on Christian history. And you have San Salvador and so forth, St. Augustine. They were all pretty much based on biblical references and religious references. At any rate, it took a while for more people to come, and then, of course, the Plymouth Foundation was in 1620, and the first Constitution was pretty much roughed out then. Jamestown, which failed the first time and then succeeded the second time, originally based on a communal environment, which didn't work. In other words, everybody would contribute to the common food and shelter and so forth, and people got lazy, got excuses, and finally it was changed to your own property, and whatever you produce, you have, and you can, of course, barter it with others. And production worked very well, and people worked. That was probably the first successful use of capitalism in America. And so that experience, as it occurred through the 16 and early 1700s, led to the understanding of what this country was about, finding its roots in English law primarily. Now, there were different people in different colonies. As an example, Georgia grew out of a penal colony. And so the type of people that were in Georgia were different than the people that were in New York, as an example, or Philadelphia. Philadelphia was the largest city in the New World. And so it grew out of prosperity based really on William Penn's plan, but was taken over by people who like control. And we've had this problem in this country and the world, for that matter, forever. But leading up to the independence, it didn't happen overnight. There were a lot of oppressive actions made by England, primarily the Parliament and the King, to force the people in the colonies to realize that they couldn't no longer work under the King's tyranny. I guess the straw that broke the camel's back was the tax, the stamp tax, which was in 1765. And they had, in fact, and everybody remembers the Boston Tea Party, and that was a rebellion against a stamp tax on the importation of tea into Boston, Massachusetts. And there was a rebellion by, actually it was led by Hamilton, but the point is people dressed up like Indians to try to throw the blame over, if you will, to the Native Americans. But in reality, it was the Englishmen who threw the tea off and everybody off of the boats. And then the King said, hey, you've got to pay for the damages. And as the oppression became more evident, the people in New England and then throughout the colonies in support of that effort moved for independence. And it took a while, a long while, actually. And finally, they voted on July 2nd. In Philadelphia, for 1776, for Declaration of Independence, which was announced on the 4th, and finally signed on August 2nd, 1776. So that started our country. In fact, we're coming up on the celebration of the Declaration of Independence, and it would be good if everybody remembered that the second paragraph says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Now, it goes on, and I would encourage everybody to read that, but the pursuit of happiness was a compromise. Originally, it was property, and of course, property has a very broad definition, as does liberty and life. And the framers understood all of this. They learned a lot from, obviously, their experience as learned men, being involved in politics, being in the world. And they, many of them were actually lawyers. Not all, but many were. They were, by and large, very religious Christian men. And his claim that they were all deists is just not true. At best, I think history proves that there was one deist, and the definition of deism was different then than it is now. But
what was the definition then, Bill?
I haven't really thought about this for a while, but today it's no belief. And the original belief was that God was here, but he really didn't take an involved hand in the
okay.
In the actions of men, but that of course we don't believe as Christians. So, the evolution, if you will, of their knowledge proved that the European style governments, where there was monarchs or dictators, and the belief that man gives these rights. It's an interesting concept that people think that the Constitution, state or federal, grants you certain rights. That's not true. As in the Declaration of Independence, God gives us these rights, and governments are instituted to protect those rights. So what government gives, government can take away. And that's the reason the framers knew that the rights that we enjoy as humans, that are inherent and indefeasible, is that they come from God, the Creator. And therefore, the government can't take them away. We can't give them away. We may choose not to exercise them, or you may be in jail where you can't exercise them, but you still have those rights.
Right.
And so this concept of where the authority comes from is so crucial and integral to the understanding of nullification. It is not the government's right to tell you as a human you can't do something. And when governments are instituted, the people are the sovereigns here, unique on the earth. Nowhere else on earth is government instituted where the people are the sovereigns. There's usually a king or a dictator. But here that's not the case. We are the earthly kings, if you will. In fact, one of the mottos of the Declaration of Independence was, no king but King Jesus.
Yeah.
And so most people don't know that was one of the prominent mottos. And we are a country, us individual states making up this country, based on Christian principles of morality, not particular church, but what is taught in the Old and New Testament. And that is actually explained very clearly in Blackstone's commentaries, which were published in England by Sir William Blackstone.
On that note, Bill, hear the music. We're going to break. Listen, everybody, this is the Unsolicited Opinion, and my name is Maggie Rodden, and we will be right back in, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, I guess, so hang in there.
There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Now you can listen to the Orion Talk Radio Network on your phone, anywhere, anytime, with our Listen by Phone feature. Just call 704-772-7627. 704-772-7627. Then enter the code 10016. That's 10016. All long distance and cell phone charges apply. Powered by UpSnap.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodden and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, 716-213-6816, 716-213-6816 is the number. My website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. If you'd like to get in contact with me, shoot me an email. I love to hear what people have to say, so please do so. I'm talking this morning with William Taylor Ryle and we're talking about the Constitution, and he gave us just a little quick history of how we ended up getting to 1776. And so now he's going to talk about nullification, which we've been trying to talk about for 4 weeks, but it's okay that we didn't get to it yet because so many of the other things we did talk about are so important, Bill. So it's all very important, you know, but it really is, and it's so important everybody understands what their ammunition is, and it really is the ammunition, isn't it? The Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence are our ammunition in this battle.
Oh, yeah, and so what I was saying was that the people are sovereign, and all the powers in the people, and we give that authority to those that we put in office, whether we elect them or they are hired or appointed, all get their authority from the people through the state constitution or the federal constitution, the Bill of Rights, which is part of that, and any other constitutional provision that was added constitutionally, and laws and regulations and codes that are all made in compliance, strict compliance, with those founding documents. And anything that's not in strict compliance is really not law at all. It's null and void from the time they do it. So all power comes from the people, and we don't give up our authority when we ask those agents, whoever they are, to act on our behalf. Now, some people, many unfortunately, in government think that they have the power and they can do anything they want, and we the people are just here to pay the bill and do what we're told to do when we're told to do it. That is totally unconstitutional and contrary to any concept of freedom and liberty. And this is an educational process that we have to go through to help those in government understand that the people are the bosses, not those in government. They are our agents, our servants. They've forgotten that concept.
Yes, they have.
And so when we the people see that something that government's doing is not authorized by the constitutions, then we the people, as the sovereigns, have the authority, inalienable inheritance authority, to tell those in government, you can't do that. Stop doing it. And they're operating outside the law if they continue to do it, and we term those folks outlaws. Well, the concept, which many of people probably know about, is jury nullification, where the juries all around the country and have the authority to judge not only the facts, which is what the judges tell you, can only judge the facts, but we have the authority and the duty, Justice John Jay said, to judge both the law and the facts. Even though he'd like for the jury to follow the law, it was the responsibility and the duty of those in the jury to judge the facts and the law. And that is contained in all the state constitutions. And jury nullification, I guess the most famous case is Peter Zenger, who was a New York publisher, who talked about against the governor of New York, and his case was decided in 1745. And the jury, even though he had said what he had said, which the governor found to be libelous, the jury found him not guilty because it was the truth. And so he was, even though he violated the law, what he'd said was true, and the jury found him not guilty. Now, they upset the judges tremendously, which is sort of what happens today.
Bill, you know, I know I've seen some YouTube videos. In fact, someone I think both you and I know, he has been involved with going down, like, to the federal courthouse down in Philadelphia, standing there trying to hand out information on jury nullification. And I think they've arrested him, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, they don't want this information out there for these jurors walking into these courthouses. They don't really want them to know that they have this ability.
Yeah, and that's, again, oppressive government. It's actually tampering with the jury. And any decision where the jury has not been allowed to judge the facts is, in fact, a bad decision. It's called gerrymandering, I guess. But anyway, the point being is...
Gerrymandering or jurymandering? What did you say there?
Yeah,
that's
gerrymandering, I guess. Anyway, messing with the jury and not telling the truth. And where did this come from? It came from the judiciary, from the attorneys and judges, wanting to control the government, to control the people. And in fact, there's a case, it's 1895 United States Supreme Court. It's Prof, I think that is the way you pronounce it, versus U.S. And in that case, the Supreme Court said, that they were right, that the jury can judge the law on the facts, but the judge doesn't have to tell them that they have that right.
What case now, was that, Bill? What case was that?
Sproff versus the United States. I don't remember the citation, but it was in 1895.
Spell the name, the first name you're saying. Sproff, as in, spell
S-P-R-I-F-F,
it.
S-P-R-I-F-F, I think it is. I won't be held to that. Let me begin with
the U.S. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
But I could be wrong on the spelling, but it's a case that comes to mind. And I'll have to dig that up, and we'll talk about that next time.
So this case, they held that they didn't have to. The judge, say what the decision was. The judge didn't have to tell the jury that they had the right to ignore what it was
They acknowledged the fact that the jury had the right to judge the law and the facts, but that the court, that is the judge, didn't have to tell the jury that they had that right. And now they've expanded to a point where you can't even talk about the law, and that's solely under the control of the judge.
He's the one who gives the jury instructions, tells them what to pay attention to, and this is the law. And
right. And what's happening with the fully informed jury effort, that's been going on for many, many years, and it's trying to help people know that the people do have this right. And the reason I talk about this with respect to nullification is that same authority, the people's authority, to tell in a court that a particular action by the government, though the law may say something, and the person who's charged did exactly what the law said they couldn't do, that law is unconstitutional or unjust, immoral, whatever the decision that the jury makes, they find that individual not guilty of that charge. Like Peter Zenger, who in fact published the comments against the governor of New York, so was in violation of the law, but the jury said he was not guilty because what he was saying was true. So the point is that same authority that the people have that we use in the jury as the, if you will, the final vote on what a law is or isn't, is the same authority that we give to those in the state government to say to the federal government, you have usurped your authority according to the Constitution, and the state will not follow that law. We will not enforce it. It's the same thing that the jury says, even though they find him not guilty, that does not repeal the law. Only the legislature can repeal the law. But when juries begin to rule that some law is unconstitutional, then we instruct our representatives to repeal the law, and they should do it. When a court makes the wrong decision repeatedly, a judge, he ought to be impeached. And that impeachment comes from the people's representative initiated in the House and confirmed by the Senate through a trial that impeaches a judge. And they ought to be using that to remove judges who don't follow the Constitution. Unfortunately, many of those in the legislature don't follow the Constitution, so impeachment is very rarely used, today, and it's usually only used when stealing funds is involved. They don't worry about violating their oath of office and the law. So, in fact, Story, in his discussion about impeachment, he explains that it ought to be liberally used. And, in fact, any time the House of Representatives determines something that is impeachable, it is. It's not this definition that the attorneys use now, that it has to be some high felony or high crime.
Yeah,
anything that the House determines to be impeachable. Because
all right,
people
listen,
are
Bill, I hate to interrupt you, but we're getting close to the end of the show. So let's mark that down. We'll take up where we left off next Sunday, because you'll be back with me again, and we'll be talking about more issues related to the Constitution so that people get an understanding, a working knowledge of exactly what it is and how it applies to them, and so they can use it to their advantage, because it is our weapon in our arsenal. That's the ammo. Those are the bullets, the Constitution.
It's the basis of the law. So I thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, always a pleasure, Bill. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it, and I will talk to you. I'm sure I'll talk to you during the week. So take care, Bill.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Hey, listen, everybody. Bill has actually sent me some documents, so I'm going to get around to putting a tab up there for the documents that Bill's got a ton of them. Tons of them. Listen, Bill will be back next week. I start tomorrow on Republic Broadcasting Network. Listen in, 11 a.m. I'll be on from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hey, keep your chin up, everybody. Better days are coming, because there are people in the world like Bill Ryle who are fighting for you and I. Chin up. The sun will come up tomorrow. Take care.
She was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going to...
Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble.
Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto?
There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
Melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where